My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I think my heart rate is still elevated from that race. Oh, my God. Also, thank God for plane Wi-Fi. I really needed it to work because I was on a plane and needed to watch this race in real time with it coming down to the wire. And the Wi-Fi has been broken on all of my recent flights. So feeling extra grateful that it worked because what a weekend. We knew going into this weekend that it was going to be telling for the championship, just given how many points there were on the table with the sprint. And we officially are heading into a 3-way title fight in Abu Dhabi. And here's where we stand, just to get that out of the way first. So Lando has 408 points, leading Max by 12, who has 396, and Oscar with 392. So any of them can win, and I will go through the various scenarios needed for each of them a little bit later on. But it's the first time in 15 years that we're going into the final round with 3 drivers in contention. The last time was 2007 with Kimi Raikkonen being down, I believe he was down 12 points going into the final race, which was Brazil in 2007, and he won by 1 point. So that could be the fate of Max Verstappen. We shall see. Qatar provided some entertainment, not least of which because it's a very fast track, but it's also hard to pass. Qualifying is really important, although not as important as good strategy, as we will discuss. Everyone seemed to have some issues with track limits. It was pretty dusty out there. So there was just a lot going on. And we're going to dive into all the racing, both the sprint and the actual race itself. But before we do that, I wrote a Substack article about my favorite Formula One books, and especially as we're heading into the holiday season, it's always nice to curl up with a book or gift a book, and so check that out. The link is in the description in the bio. Hopefully you've read some of them. If not, I highly, highly recommend all of them. I've read a lot of Formula One books, and it was hard to narrow it down to just 7, but I really do think these 7 are representative of some incredible F1 literature out there. Okay, let's get into the racing, shall we? So for sprint quali out in Q1, we had Stroll, Lawson, Hamilton, Gasly, and Colapinto. It was so rough for Hamilton. He was only out qualifying the Alpines, which was brutal. Leclerc was P13 in SQ1, so generally just not a great showing from Ferrari this weekend, which we'll get to as well. But SQ2, we had out Hajar, Behrman, Bortoleto, Hulkenberg, Ocon. Hulkenberg had a lap time deleted for track limits, which was sort of foreshadowing for a lot of people throughout the rest of the weekend. A couple people went off into the dunes. There was some traffic. But SQ3, this was exciting because it was Piastri back in his form. He got pole, followed by Russell, who split the 2 McLarens. So it was Piastri, Russell, then Norris, and then Alonso. Tsunoda, who outqualified Max Verstappen, his teammate, which was crazy. And Max was complaining about the car bouncing and went off track. And it was definitely Yuki's best qualifying in a Red Bull. So it was a shame that that didn't pan out for better things this weekend. But yeah, definitely an interesting start to the weekend for Red Bull, which, as we will see, the fortunes kind of reversed for those two drivers. And when it mattered for Max, he pulled it together. For the sprint, there was a great reaction at the start from both McLarens. Both Red Bulls passed Alonso, and then Yuki, the good teammate that he is, made it easy for Max to come by. So Max was up 2 places into P4 after the first turn. Both Racing Bulls were also up two places at the start. Unfortunately, neither were in points position, but good reaction times from them. Stroll and Hamilton both started from the pit lane after taking upgrades to their cars. And then Max was within DRS on Lando for several laps, but then started struggling a bit with the car. Yuki got a 5-second time penalty for track limits, which dropped him down. The announcers were just not happy at all with that performance. They called it sloppy and just not great after obviously qualifying pretty well. So not a great showing, unfortunately, from Yuki in the sprint. And then Kimi was one place behind him. He also got a black and white flag for track limits, but he managed to hold it on track. So Yuki, with his 5-second time penalty, dropped behind Kimi. Piastri also reported a vibration in the car, but all was fine. He won the sprint, so that was great to see him back on his form. It was his first win since the Dutch Grand Prix. And behind him, Russell P2, Norris P3, Verstappen P4. So unfortunately, winning the sprint doesn't give you a lot in terms of points because it's just one point that separates each place. So if you get first, you have 8 points, second, 7, 6, so on. But he did take 2 points out of Lando with that result. So that brought them a little closer and even just good for confidence and momentum. So on to quali the same day in that afternoon. So Q1 out, we had Yuki Tsunoda, Ocon, Hamilton again, Stroll, and Colapinto. Everybody started on softs, but yeah, so brutal for Hamilton. Leclerc also was ninth in Q1, so not incredible, but just like tragic for both of them. It really felt like the car was not in either of their favors this whole weekend. Bortoleto knocked out Tsunoda, who was upset on the radio, especially after his sprint quali performance. It's kind of a bummer for him. And then Q2 out, we had Hülkenberg, Lawson, Behrmann, Bortoleto, and Albon. Norris had a lap deleted with about 7 minutes to go, but he was able to find a good clean lap. But it was so dusty that Russell was like asking for a visor change for Q3. It was also a close call for Leclerc, who finished ninth. And then a big highlight was another Q3 for Gasly, who was just so stoked on the radio. It's his 10th Q3 for him this season. So he's probably one of the drivers we expect to see up there a little bit more often. But just given the car he's in, it's definitely a feat for him to get to Q3. But for Q3, it was an incredible battle between the McLarens. The qualifying head-to-head was 11-11 going into this. There was a crazy spin and save from Leclerc. Sainz was released with a sticker on his car, and that caused a brief red flag because they had to rescue it and pick up the debris from that. It's just a very like strange issue. I guess it was stuck on the floor of the garage or something. Lando unfortunately had to back out of his last flying lap, which opened the door for Piastri, who had an insane last lap, which got him pole, followed by Lando Norris, then Verstappen, Russell, and Antonelli. So for the race, there's a lot to discuss. The crucial thing about this race was that there was a 25-lap limit for tires that was imposed, quote unquote, artificially by Pirelli and the FIA. This effectively forced a two-stop race, which is where things got a little tricky, especially for McLaren. So it was a great start from Max, who passed Lando immediately on turn one. Apparently the right of the grid wasn't great. So that affected Lando, that affected Hadjar, that affected some others. So I guess starting on the left was a better place to start. But regardless, Max had an amazing start, passed Lando on turn one. Then came the very important incident between Pierre Gasly and Nico Hülkenberg that really changed the fabric of this race. They made contact, Nico spun and retired, which caused a safety car at lap 8. Critically, because it was lap 8, given the 57-lap race, this was perfect timing for teams to get one stop out of the way, basically for free, because the next two sets of tires could go 25 laps each and stay under the limit until the race finished. So under a safety car, you get a much shorter pit stop. And so usually it is beneficial to you to pit under the safety car if you need new tires, or crucially in this case, if you need to satisfy an artificial two-stop limit. The McLarens were 1 and 2. It was Oscar, then Norris. So they had the privilege, or as we found out later, the curse of being the first to make a decision. They decided to keep both drivers out, while behind them, almost every single team brought both drivers in. It was literally just the McLarens and Esteban Ocon who didn't stop. And crucially, Max Verstappen dove in as well. He was the first to dive in because he was running third. It wasn't even a fast stop. It was 4.1 seconds with all the pit lane traffic. They had to hold him for a little bit. And I think the McLarens must have just known immediately that they had royally messed that one up and were just probably praying for another safety car, which never came. On a different track, I think The strategy of fresher tires and flexibility and more stops might have worked, but given how difficult this track is to pass, that was just a hugely risky move. And Lando questioned it on the radio kind of almost immediately, and they said something about preserving tire flexibility at the end, which was just kind of a pipe dream, I think. The McLarens did execute their two, you know, subsequent pit stops well, including a 1.8 second stop, but it just unfortunately didn't matter after that first strategy blunder. Like, without another safety car, they were really left hanging out to dry there. Everyone else pitted at lap 32. I don't think I've ever heard Ted Kravitz so excited about all the happenings in the pit lane. The traffic was chaos. Honestly, it was pretty impressive that no one ran into each other, although there were some close calls. There were some wobbles from the top three of Lando, Oscar, and Max, with each of them taking a little bit of a dip into the gravel, and maybe Lando in particular sustaining a little bit of damage, but nothing too crazy. And they all obviously ended up finishing the race just fine. Oscar did try to make a run at Max, but it just wasn't enough despite how fast he was driving. Honestly, he had an incredible weekend. And unfortunately, just with the strategy, Max managed to control and win the race with Oscar in P2 and then Carlos in P3. So before we talk about all of the details of those decisions, we just have to celebrate Carlos and Williams for a second, because it's the first Williams driver in over a decade to get two podiums in the same season. It also cemented their P5 in constructors, which is huge. To go from P9 to P5 in a single season, especially in the same era of regulations from one season to the next, is just incredible. Lewis and Carlos had a cute moment in the media pen afterwards, with Lewis congratulating him despite, unfortunately, the bad race he had. And obviously the fact that Lewis was the one who replaced Carlos at Ferrari, that must just mean a decent amount to Carlos to have that. And let me also just say that Carlos Sainz's race radios were incredible. He's definitely one of the most brilliant strategists of all the drivers. Just an incredible race from him. And you just hear him constantly on the radio, like calling out his own strategy. And I think we need to think about this, or it's time to do this. And I don't know how drivers do that, especially Carlos. He just seems to be one of the best at it. So cheers to him. Everybody seems so happy. I love the picture of James Vowles like on the floor smiling. It's very, very wholesome. And I am so here for this Williams renaissance, because as I say, everyone's a Williams fan. Lando, meanwhile, finished P4 after a late pass of Kimi Antonelli for that position. And I'll talk about the Kimi incident in a minute, but I want to get into my MVPs and LVPs, because I think that will cover some of the things in more detail and maybe talk about some of the things we haven't yet. So for MVP, I have to give it to the one, the only, the legendary Hannah Schmitz, the Red Bull head strategist, strategy call of the season for sure. I love how she also got challenged on that call and stuck to her guns, knowing that it was the right thing to do. She said afterwards that people were like, "Are you sure?" And she was like, "Yes." So props to them also for bringing her up on the podium to celebrate and recognizing that this was largely due to Hannah, that Max is in the position that he was in. And of course, Max drove an incredible race as well. Well-deserved driver of the day. He seems to just hook it up whenever he absolutely needs to. And going from a 104-point gap at the Dutch Grand Prix to now being just 12 points behind Lando Norris for the lead is just crazy. Heading into Abu Dhabi, we're just in for such a treat. But yeah, got to give it to Hannah Schmitz and the strategy call there, because as fast and as great as Max is, I feel like it would have been hard to have won that race without that call and without the McLarens having done the opposite. So go Hannah. We'll also, of course, give it to Carlos, although I just talked about him. For LVPs, first one's pretty obvious. I think that McLaren strategy call, we know, was a huge blunder. And I think both Zach Brown and Andrea Stella admitted it was the wrong call after the race. So it's good that there's at least some accountability there. I think that's better than just being like, "Oh, we'll review as a team and try to do better next time." I'm glad they took some accountability, but you have to wonder why they didn't pit. Was it because they didn't want to be seen as favoring one driver over the other, and double stacking would have potentially disadvantaged Lando, and then they didn't want to make that decision or tilt the scale in that way? Or did they not think others were going to come in and so didn't see what a big blunder it would be until Max went in himself? Like, it's hard to know, but they also must have had this as a scenario pre-race that they talked about. Like, what happens if there's an early safety car and that allows us to get a free pit stop and knock one of ours out because it's lap eight? It was a perfectly timed safety car for that opportunity. So you'd think as a team, they must have talked about that strategy. And the fact that Lando was questioning it on the radio makes me think that, like, maybe they didn't talk about it. Maybe they didn't think about it as a strategy. I don't know. There are a million permutations in a Formula One race. You can't cover all of them, but you'd have to think at a race like this where there's been a safety car, I think every race since Qatar has happened, like, the timing of that is important. And do we pit our drivers or not? If they're, even if they're like right behind one another, do we double stack that? I don't know. It's just so tough to think about and to see. And I feel my heart really hurts for both of these drivers. Like, you know, it's bad when Oscar Piastri posts a picture after the race with no caption and no music. And then also Lando being totally silent on the radio for minutes after the race ended, like, didn't say anything else. And I just felt so bad for Oscar, especially because he has been struggling basically since August. And he said this was the best weekend he's had driving. And I really felt that to be true. Like, the Oscar we saw this weekend is so different than the Oscar that we've seen in September and October and most of this month. And I'm not sure if it's the fact that he favors this high grip track or if he's just throwing it all at the wall now that he really doesn't have much to lose with only 1 to 2 rounds left. But it's just like, it's so great to see him come back and challenge for this title. And I'm so happy that we have a 3-way fight in Abu Dhabi. But it's like, gosh, when will the team get out of their driver's own way? I mean, obviously in Vegas, we had a double disqualification due to no fault of the drivers. And then this, I mean, I guess the most silver lining way you could look at this is at least it's happening to both drivers. Like, at least it's happening to both and they're not like playing favorites. But I also think a lot of people are like, play favorites at this point. Like, you're going to lose this driver's championship to Max Verstappen. Now, I don't think that they should play favorites necessarily. I just think this is so tough. And at least they both are still in it. Like, it would be horrible if this blunder happened and then Oscar Piastri was out of the championship fight. Like, that would just be salt in the wounds. But obviously it's already a tall order for Oscar to win this championship in Abu Dhabi. Certainly possible. And I will go through again those permutations, but it's definitely a tall order with Max now taking the P2 championship lead. The end of F1 season sneaks up fast, and then all of a sudden it's holiday season, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I really have been using Uncommon Goods for years, and I actually got someone in my life a book full of New York Times covers from their birth year over the years. It's one of the most special, customizable gifts I've ever seen, and that person still talks about it as their favorite gift they've ever received. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard Formula One fans and football fans, to foodies, mixologists, avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
My second LVP was GP, Max's race engineer, his radio about Kimi, quote unquote, letting Lando by. I couldn't believe I heard it when I saw it. GP got on the radio to Max. This was late in the race when Lando passed Kimi for P4. And it was kind of strange. Like, Kimi went off track. I think it was a mistake, but like, Lando sailed right by him. But GP felt the need to get on the radio to Max and say, I don't know what just happened there, but Lando passed Kimi and like Kimi seemed to just let him by, which is like kind of a crazy accusation to make that Kimi would be meddling somehow or tilting the scale in the favor of someone for the championship. Like, what a strange thing to say. And I get you say it in the heat of the moment, but Toto called it total utter nonsense and said, how brainless can you be to even say something like this? Why would we even think about interfering in a driver's championship, essentially? And Kimi changed his profile picture on Instagram to a black circle after a lot of the hate that he was getting online and whatever. It's just, leave the poor kid alone. He's a teenager and he's a rookie season. Obviously, he's not meddling in the championship. And if anything, he loves Max Verstappen. Like, Max is his mentor. He's like his adopted father, you know? It's like, God, people are crazy. I don't know. Maybe GP just was confused and thought he saw something and felt the need to say it on the radio. And that's the one thing that gets picked up by the broadcast and blah, blah, blah. And it stirs the pot and all of that. But GP, come on. You know better than that. I don't know. Your driver just won the race. Like, let's not stir the pot. So a couple discussion points before we round it out. I think number one, the question that everybody's asking heading into Abu Dhabi, should McLaren favor Lando? Lando is 16 points ahead of Oscar Piastri. And so it is a pretty tall order. Let me first just say, I don't think they will favor Lando unless it's basically a zero chance situation for Oscar Piastri to win the title himself. I think the right thing to do is to let them duke it out, particularly in quali, and then go from there. Like, if Max is not a threat for the driver's championship, like, let the two drivers race. But for example, if Max is P1 and if Lando is in a position where Max is going to win the championship, which is P4 or lower, then I don't see how they can't use everything they can to try and get Lando the title if Oscar is not in contention as things stand. But we've heard Zach Brown's comments, the interview that he gave a couple months ago, basically saying we would rather lose this championship to Max Verstappen than favor a driver or tell a driver that their dream to be world champion like is non-existent or, sorry, like better luck next year. So I do think it's going to be a very specific, special situation where Oscar is all but out of the running or out of the running completely for them to actually favor Lando. And then begs the question of like, okay, if Oscar is so far down, like, can he even help Lando? I don't know. We'll see. But I have a hard time believing that McLaren is going to favor either driver in this race unless it's mathematically impossible for Oscar to win given the position he's in. So we shall see. Now, to talk about the championship scenarios. So long story short, if Lando finishes on the podium, he wins the title, regardless of where Max and Oscar place. Like, Lando could win, it could be Max P2, Oscar P3, like, Lando still wins the title. It gets more complicated if he's not on the podium. So if Max were to win the race, Lando would have to be P4 or lower. And if Oscar were to win the race, Lando would have to be P6 or lower. Now, obviously, there are a ton of different permutations based off of where they finish, but that is kind of the simplest way to explain it. But yeah, as I've said, I'll be happy if any three of them win it. I just really hope that they all come in with confidence. Like, I would hate to see Lando or Oscar or any one of them choke, so to speak, in this last race and just not feel ready to seize the moment. So I hope they all give it their best. I hope they all feel good about what they bring to the table, regardless of the outcome. But yeah, obviously not all three can win this championship, so it's going to come down to one of them. And I think my prediction is still Lando. I've said this since the beginning of the season. If you remember when I had Matt and Tommy on all the way back in Saudi Arabia, I said Lando. I think Matt said Oscar, and maybe Tommy said Max or something like that. So I think we had these three, but I think it's still Lando's to lose. Lando not finishing on podium, like, something would have to go pretty wrong based off of the momentum and the performance he's had. So we'll see. But like I said, I'll be happy if any of them win. So for the standings, Lando Norris 408, Max Verstappen 396, Oscar Piastri 392, George Russell 309, Charles Leclerc 230, Lewis Hamilton 152, Kimi Antonelli 150, Alex Albon 73, Carlos Sainz 64, and Isaac Hadjar 51. That's your top 10. For constructors, McLaren 800, Mercedes 459, Red Bull 426, Ferrari 382, Williams 137. They have cemented that P5. Racing Bulls 92, Aston Martin 80, Haas 73, Kick Sauber 68, and Alpine 22. We still have no contract announcements for the second Red Bull seat or either of the Racing Bulls seat. I thought that maybe this week we would get it, but now with the championship, I feel like it won't be announced until after everything happens, but we shall see. We're heading into the finale. I cannot believe a race 24 of 24 this season. It all comes down to this, another season almost done and dusted. And how lucky are we that we have a three-way title fight to the end? Like, I don't want it to come down to the last lap because I feel like my heart rate can't handle it. But at the same time, I kind of do. Like, it's just so cool to witness this. But yeah, I was stressed watching this race, and I'm going to be really stressed at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning when it's Abu Dhabi race time, my time. So you best believe I'll be wide awake for that. Let's do it.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.